This is a continuation of Anatomy of Games, Part 1.
The big lesson we learn out of all this, which I have diversively been trying to feed you, way or the other, is that a good, thorough, two-way cycle of communication, remedy of the scarcity of, will destroy any existing barrier, whether space, or matter, or energy, or time. Communication is the solvent of all barriers. And where an individual has compartmented his body off and his head is fighting his feet, or his right half is fighting his left half as you get in a stroke, there's a barrier existing there. You will find the barrier in the form of a ridge, actually a piece of energy. You will find it also in space on a compulsive exteriorization. Any one of these things. All you have to do is get the part that's out of communication on the other side of the barrier into communication. Or actually just tackle the barrier. Have the barrier start saying, hello, hello, hello. And boom, where's the barrier? Theoretically, we as a group could probably sit right here and reduce entirely the walls of this room by picking them out atom by atom, making them all say hello many times. Theoretically. But we want this room. Like what would happen here? Immediately we'd get all the traffic noises. Wouldn't be able to contain heat in the place. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well now, the pre-clear is in a state of mind where he doesn't know where the barriers mean a game and where they mean no game. And he's liable to pick up barriers, which are actually game barriers, and destroy them, which gives him less game. And he's liable to completely ignore the unused, unmeaningful barriers, you know, the ones that are no longer used for the game. He's liable to ignore those entirely because he has neglected them. He doesn't even recognize they're there. By bringing the facsimile into the view of the people of the world, by showing them there was such a thing as an energy mass, by getting this around, it called their attention on something they had long since forgotten that existed. See, they knew it existed once, but they'd forgotten it. And they had no reality on it. And all of a sudden, we could demonstrate that these barriers did exist, that they could dictate orders, that they were barriers between the individual and the outside. And we had a method of destroying them, which was to go into communication with them several times over. And look at the erasure of an engram and making something say hello as blood brothers. They're not even remote cousins, they're blood brothers. Only we can do it more effectively because we know the rest of the formula. Any pre-clear also, just a repetition here, any pre-clear is somewhere on the cycle of games. I haven't been terribly specific saying this is point A, B, 3, 4, 5, 6, something of the sort of the cycle, but you can certainly look it over, how a game has all communication, then it halves up with barriers, and then it divides up with some more barriers and divides up with some more barriers. Actually, the individuality of everybody involved in this game, which has been the real nut to crack, they booby-trapped it over in India because it had something called nirvana. We're supposed to merge in with the consciousness of all and all this sort of nonsense. The funny part of it was that when you start to knock down the barrier, you lose enforced or inhibited individuation. You do not lose real individuality. The guy becomes more himself. He says, I am me. Did you ever notice a pre-clear who suddenly discovered where he was? Right after he feels more like a person, doesn't he? He feels more like an individual. Similarly, we get somebody exteriorized, so he's exteriorized with great certainty, and he knows he's there and the body's there. When he gets over the shock of this, and when he can operate as exterior, why, he feels more as a person. Unless, of course, you rip away all of his game barriers. If you ripped away all of his game barriers and left him nothing but his old, forgotten, barriers that didn't mean anything anyhow, he'd get to be an unhappy person, as far as you were concerned. He'd get real unhappy. Okay. The amount of work which you can do on a pre-clear is today very definitely lessened But in view of the fact that old barriers and old masses are barriers in formation, and masses in formation, and spaces which are in formation, you might say, these two will keep drifting through as you're running this communication type processing. So we've set the boy all up with this particular set of barriers, and he's feeling very good. Something slides or slips, and he goes into another set of barriers. And we could conceive that this would just go on endlessly. We could believe this would just go on endlessly, you see. That would be a very disheartening thing. We face the same thing. I found out that you could erase what appeared to me to be a tremendous number of engrams, see. And at the end of this time, having put the person into this much communication with the bank, probably in 1949, 1950, he was probably sitting out in the back of his head someplace. He was out of the bank. And then what was discouraging was to find many people. After we got going in the foundation and so forth, we discovered that there were more aberrated people than I had noticed before. There were quite a few. Particularly after you give them the answers on how to be aberrated. The trick here was that these people would erase two or three dozen engrams, you see, and you'd say, oh, just wonderful. You spent a lot of time on this, by the way. You've spent maybe a couple hundred hours erasing all these engrams, you see, and you say, gee, we really got it now, see. And there's another one. And there's another one, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. You see that manifestation? You know, you experienced it. All right. The same thing happens when you're running this communication type processing. You get rid of this set of barriers, this set of aberrative factors, and so forth, and there are just some more of them. And you, let's say you're just destroying unusable masses. In terms of the preclear thing. And you destroy this whole set of masses, and then there's just some more of them. And then you destroy all these, and there's just some more of them. You get him into a freer communication, there's just some more of them. And you get him into a freer communication, and there's some more of them. That's a hell of a note, isn't it? Well, fortunately, unlike running engrams where we could stick him every once in a while, and so forth, this process continues to improve the individual's identity. And it improves his ability. It gets him better located. And the better he's located, why then the more powerful he dares get. Did you ever walk through a room rapidly and expansively, which was dark and filled with bric-a-brac? Your bric-a-brac will come down, won't it? There's a big dark room all filled full of china and glass and so forth, and you walk in there, it's, you know, dark, can't see. Well, you walk awful gentle. You're not very strong. You're not very fast when you're doing that. All right, let's get the lights on pretty bright. A guy could walk through there with considerable speed. He'd dare demonstrate a little bit of stuff. You picked up enough of the china and breakables. Well, this process does not have the liability on test. It doesn't have the liability of finding the person unable to handle the next energy mass. What we make him do is handle energy mass after energy mass after energy mass, or space, or have him handle this or that, again and again and again, and he's improving his ability on it all the time because it works so quick. He gets a better idea of his ability on it. He gets a better idea of his ability, and a better one, and a better one, and a better one. And all of a sudden, although you may not have reduced his actual number of barriers by 1/1 billionth, you have put him up the line to a point where he's convinced of his ability to handle these barriers, and therefore he will communicate. He is not communicating, just like you would not walk through a dark room strewn with china with great speed. There are consequences to communication. Strange and weird barriers slide in. Old masses of some kind or another, or old flows start up, or he gets out of time in some fashion or another. I ran a test on this, which you might be interested in. I had a fellow have the front of his face, and then the center of his head, and then the back of his head in that order. Simply say hello. A great many curious things showed up. And you know these black masses that hang around the optic nerves and so on that give people eye trouble and so on? My God, these things turned on enough to just blowtorch him. It was all I could do for a short time to keep him at it. His attention was so solidly fixed upon these, of course he was holding them there, creating them. So fixed upon them, in any case he would have been creating them, you see. He was so fixed upon them that it was hard for him to fix at all upon the auditor. In other words, his attention just went on to these things, spang! And I had each tiny particle of this black mass tell him, hello. I finally got this through to him. Had a little struggle there for a while. At each tiny part of this black mass that had shown up, which underlay the optic nerves, back of the eyeball, I had each particle say hello to him. Fascinating. Blew him. After turning on a somatic enough to knife him in half. Well, now, a few days later, he had some more of these. They showed up while he was eating dinner, so he blew them. Get the difference. Difference of reaction. He just noticed them. And he said, hell, those don't belong there. So he made them all say hello unanimously. And then blew. Up to that time, he was so fixed upon them. Did you ever notice a preclear when he tried to exteriorize, tried to take his eyes with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Well, that's real wild. Well, the energy masses which are connecting, quote, him to his eyes, and so on, are just masses for which he is no longer taking any responsibility, so they can command him. He no longer commands them. If you were to have somebody doing that, simply have those eye masses say, hello, you see those masses around there that he had felt, even if he could just feel them, you see, somehow. Just have the area say, hello, 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 and have him acknowledge them once in a while, or have them say, okay, okay, it doesn't matter much. You'll find the difference of phrase will shift once in a while as the formula of the cycle rolls through. He'll stop trying to take his eyes with him. Actually, you could say, from a standpoint of randomity, having separated them out individually, you see, as eyes, they are trying to be taken along. Well, now, they'd just be anxious about communicating with him or to him. That's a hell of a stuck flow, you understand. Many, many times he's never even said, I see it. See, his eyes have gone around and, we'll just take a sweep around the room. How much have you seen of the room that you have actually seen of the room? I'll give you an example of it. Have those portions of the room now say hello. The ones you haven't noticed, have them say hello. I can tell you for sure you haven't sat here looking at that back green drape. Have it say hello a few times. Got that real good? Got that now? Okay, now you say okay to it. Acknowledgement of sight. What's happening as you do that? Perception coming up a little bit? Oh. I have my back say okay to you. All right, now you say okay to my back. Thank you. You say okay now to the back of this chair up here. You're merely acknowledging the fact that it is visible. You have in the back of this chair? Yeah, I mean, are you saying okay to the back of this chair now?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me if you feel it pull free or something. Still saying okay to the back of this chair?
What's
the matter? All right. Have it say okay to you a few times. Does that work?
Start to same trouble. I start just longing each time.
Well, say hello to it. Have it originate some communications to you. All right. All right. What happens as you do that? I want to see, did you find any space expanding? Did you get a greater distance of space or a greater distance involved in the thing?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's take something that you customarily do not notice very much, particularly in the city and so forth, the ground. Now you say okay to the ground a few times. All right, let's vary it a little bit now and say okay to the ground this way. Okay, I know you're there. How's that work?
About a mile high. You can say it's so much more ground.
Yeah. Anybody had any wild and odd and strange Vizio shown up here?
Well, the more I said okay, the farther it got away. So I was about 100 feet up or something. Then when I began to say, okay, I know you're there, sometimes it was and sometimes it wasn't.
Okay, have the ground now, all around, I don't care where, but just ground. Say, okay, I know you're there to you. How's that? Are you working? All right. Now I have the ground say hello. Okay, how's that going? It's rough? A little rough?
Monkey business. Monkey business.
What's happening?
First I kept moving away from it, then the more it said hello, the closer I got back to it.
It's all right. Has anybody recognized yet that he's playing with a mechanism known as gravity? Oh, you've recognized this. This is gravity. It's the unacknowledged communication, the unoriginated communication. The unacknowledged communication will gradually pin a guy to something. This is gravity. Now, if we stop and think that it's actually the sun which shows you the earth, we see that the sun is probably making a communication on a continuing basis. So have the sun say hello to you now. Wow.
I should acknowledge that one right now.
All right, now in view of the fact that you've received a great many communications from the sun without ever acknowledging it, how about you just saying okay to the sun? Say okay to the sun, Samar. Now get, okay, now get the son knowing you've said okay to it. Okay. All right. How's it going?
I have no thing to describe it. On that note, the son Nuri that one of said okay, it seemed to have greater reality than the others.
Okay.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Anybody bogged down utterly? Now let's do a direct acknowledgement and find the floor. Is the floor there?
Yes.
All right. Now you tell the floor it's there. Tell it again. Tell it again. Tell it again. Okay. Is your chair there?
Yes.
Good. How do you feel?
Fine.
Feel okay? All right. That's just an example that run to be therapeutic, but just to demonstrate to you some of the oddities which result simply from running the most basic elements of a communication formula. I dare say you could probably produce levitation, you could probably produce all kinds of strange things simply by working with this rather conscientiously along some line. Remember, the communication is a two-way cycle, that there are two cycles involved, and as you work with it, you'll probably become conscious of the fact that you have been ignoring one point of one of the cycles or something of the sort. And this, remember, is a barrier breakdown and results in the breakdown of barriers as such, so that it's not too bad occasionally to have somebody dream up some games he can play. Something like this, if you continue this too long, because what will it do? It'll take all the games away from your preclear unless you remedy this to some degree or another. I have given a preclear an object. Most obvious processes go along with this. I've given him an object and said, how many games could you play with this object? Oh, he'd say a great number. Well, describe one. You know, lighter. Well, I could fix it up so it couldn't light. I could fix it up so that if I lit it, why, I'd light a girl's cigarette with it. She would blow it out. And then I would have to light it again. Most elementary sort of things. And then he'd start up into cops and robbers with this thing, you know. He could hide something very precious in it, you know, and odds and ends and so forth, and suddenly recognized that to some slight degree this lighter was a part of his game environment. So here's a new word for you, guys, game environment. Now there would be a game environment and a no-game environment. What a person objects to is what he considers to be a no-game environment. And remember that a person exteriorized with no perception of barriers and no necessity to contact them anymore could be in a no-game environment for his money. So he would eventually get tired of this after 3 or 4 days and go back in his head, include it all in, lose himself thoroughly, run up into some barriers and disperse. Then say, ah, here we are now. Now we're in a game environment. Now, therefore, barriers could fall into these two categories, those used immediately and actively in and usable in games, and those which are not being used in games. See, it would not be true to say that something was a no-game environment. This is an impossibility. That's not an exact truth. Nothing could be a no-game environment, but it would mean this, that an individual wasn't playing any games with those barriers.
Consideration.
Yeah, just his consideration of the barrier. Now we find out that the pre-clear gets as well as slowly as he's unable to change his consideration about being able to use a barrier in a game. And we find out that he moves into a new neighborhood or something of this character, and all of these barriers around look rather alien, uninteresting, and so forth, because he has not included them under his game environment. Not until several things will occur and his attention could be fixed on some of these things. For instance, I had an example of this just the other day. I hadn't considered that the activities of the caretaker at the next door place to mine had anything to do with me. This was brought forcibly to my attention when yesterday he started to burn brush, and I have some very dry grass in the orchard, and he for some reason or other considered it a very brilliant thing to do to light a fire immediately opposite an enormous pile of brush, which would have, if ignited on a windy day, would have taken the rest of the orchard and the house too. And having been dissuaded from that, he immediately moved down the road, built another small fire, which he really didn't mean, and then moved across the road onto my side of the road and built another fire. It was getting to be a rather heavy game environment as far as I was concerned about the thing. That is just a kind of a goofy idea. Now I am paying some attention to what's going on next door, you see. That's part of the game environment.
The remedy of deviance.
Friends, I hadn't paid any attention at all to the situation of car thefts and so forth, or theft in general, as crime statistics. They were rather uninteresting to me until all of a sudden I get a car stolen. Well, now this isn't vitally interesting. For one thing, the car is insured. For its full worth, but this is beside the point. I got very interested in that as a game environment, and although I'd been interested in criminality and criminology for a great many years, hadn't bothered to pick up any actual statistics for just ages. So I went and had the statistics dug up and was properly amazed at what a fruitful playing field that seems to be for a great many people. And also utterly condemned to my eye the ingenuity, at least of this particular community and of the United States as a whole, in their handling of crime. You mean to say that a group of people, such as the people of this particular area, who are rather noted for their desire for space and ideas and that sort of thing, couldn't figure out a better system to keep their cars than this? It affects every one of them. They pay the most fantastic insurance rates in this area. It's one of the highest insurance rate areas in the United States. And it all stems from the fact that the granting of driver's licenses is so badly done, and the theft of cars is so high that insurance in this area is practically prohibitive. For a rather valuable car, it'd be nothing to pay $180 for a year's insurance policy. You know, that's a lot of money. Well, what it revolves down to is the fact that nobody's on the ball down here at City Hall. That's all. This business is not on the ball at all. And it immediately reflects that every citizen in the area has to contribute to this game called Cops and Robbers, but he's not playing the game called Cops and Robbers, you see. And that's what's known as a broken piece. You know, he's contributing to a game, but he's not playing in the game in some fashion or another. Well, I want you to continue to look this over, experiment with it, run it. If anybody starts to get upset materially about this, remedy some havingness. But I'll show you the other way to remedy havingness about it, and this now becomes allowable in auditing. Invent some games. How many ways could you run that? You could run it, invent some games with this object. You could say, mock up somebody inventing some games for you. And you'll find out that the joie de vivre of the individual immediately picks up. What becomes curious in processing this process is you will discover many things become curious. But the main thing that becomes curious, not in processing amongst ourselves, because we are interested in this particular game and we are interested in the phenomena, and we have a slight vested interest in the state of the mind and understanding it. But to somebody who is merely getting processed because he's up a guidus bothers him, or something of the sort, this is not the case. And it'll be about all you can do to hog-tie this fellow into an auditing chair occasionally. He will suddenly run this process of invent games. He will think of a game. He will fixate on some old terminal, reactivate it, add it up to his present time environment. And man alive, it's about all you can do to get a lariat on this fellow in time to keep him from going down the avenue at 120 miles an hour just to go on with the playing of this game, you know? He gets real ecstatic and excited about this particular game. Boy, yeah, that's terrific, see? And he's on his way. Well, now, the awful part of it is that when this turns on in the auditing room, It turns on furiously, you understand. It turns on strongly, and it seems to be overweighing his better judgment with regard to auditing. He yet can't do many things. His sonic, his visio, his exteriorization stability, and all these things are all off. It is a manic, and this process turns on a manic in that fashion. It's very curious. With this process, you must be pitching in there, because you can turn on actively a manic state of I've got to get going with this or with that. Very hectic. It's almost next door to fear when it's in its worst condition. It's very hectic, and there's nothing real bad about this, except it'll burn out in 3 days. So maybe the solution to this is just let the guy write something down in his case history book. One reason to keep a case history book, and put it up on the shelf and let him go his way. And when he comes back to you in 3 days complaining about how bad he feels or something of that sort, you just show him what you noted in the book. In other words, that you predicted the condition. Immediately that makes you boss again, and you would go on with the process. I've done this with several preachers. It's very effectual. Particularly if you take down the folder from the exact place where you put it, and he saw you put it, and show him that you wrote in it at the time, he would be back and see you in 3 days. He starts to look at you very closely and mock up a turban around your head.
Oh, a halo.
Yes, or a halo. Well, a halo is a dispersed turban. All right, are there any questions about all this now?
Yeah, the halo of condensing.
Ooh. Did you ever see a condensed Thetan do much shining? We're in a field at this moment that I wouldn't breathe this out loud very far. I certainly wouldn't teach students this. Just students at random, we haven't been around at all. But evidently, we are in a field right here where the two things an individual does do, basic things he does do, is go into communication with things, make things go into communication with him, and invent games, and pay attention to other people inventing games. So we are almost not in the field of processing at all, and we can self-process almost any of this, because it ends itself quickly. I mean, we start self-processing it a little bit, something like that. You notice it's a way of handling things. Way of handling things. You don't understand the anatomy of a motor which is lying there, so you make the motor say hello. You acknowledge the fact that it is lying there broken. I don't say the motor will run, or that you will be enough of an electrician to immediately fix it, because you know instantly what's wrong with it. But both of those things can occur just as a result of the process, and the other thing certainly does occur. You stop worrying about a broken down motor. You see, its breakdown condition is something that you're perfectly willing to communicate with. If you're willing to communicate with a broken down condition of a piece of machinery, if you're willing to communicate with it, my God, the darn thing will run forever. It just gets into apathy about it. There's no effect I can produce on him. Well, you never saw anything as insistent upon barriers being in their exact and proper location as a motor.
Yeah.
And of course, you'll get a body being equally insistent upon this fact, that everything be in its right location. The disturbance of many a preacher is simply just this. It's an anchor point out of position. And he will be quite disturbed, you know. He'll have all kinds of modus operandi to assign to this disturbance. It worries him that a body is slightly out of commission, you see. and the general machine is not functioning exactly optimum, and we get it all broken down. With great labor exteriorize this boy, and we get him all set up, and then we have him adjust this one small anchor point, which is usually hangs below one ear, and his headaches cease, or some damn fool thing immediately occurs like this. The first piece of machinery that breaks down to a Thetan who has gotten very hectic about machinery, of course, is a body. And then you will see that break down a little bit, and you will see bodies in the vicinity of that person start breaking down, which is quite curious. Did you ever notice what wonderful condition nurses were in? What fascinating, radiantly healthy condition nurses were in. Well, if you've never noticed this, I invite you to go down to a hospital sometime.
They look that way on the outside, but inside they're a mess.
They are so clean and polished up exteriorly, but you're not liable to notice it. But actually, you as a Scientologist would have your nerve with you not to notice it. They are just busted to flinders. In the Navy, the officers and far stations and so on quite commonly date nurses who were officers. And as practically the only social between the sexes contact available anywhere around, you know. And you'd say that women getting all this attention from all these men would be not bad at all, you know. They're treated very nicely and so forth, and yet a check over of the number of nurses available for a dance or something like that always finds several of them, you see, completely out of commission and out of the running. They have a cold, or they're upset this way or that. What's fabulous is that they don't come down with it as often with the diseases of their patients. They can't duplicate that. Well, I guess
school
teachers have a rough time with this. Yeah.
You said something a few minutes ago about having somebody's incapable part say hello to him and so forth.
Mm.
What's that going to do to validate it? Physical incapacity?
Nothing. The power, the process, communication itself, let me put it this way, is so powerful that it overcomes the manifestation of validation. It's one of these things that is present, but it becomes a lesser factor. A barrier, remember, is an artificiality. A very nebulous thing. A barrier is a hard thing to keep there. It blows fast. You start working on it.
Well, the other day I was walking on this and she had that bone foot, you know, minus graft.
Yeah.
She had that bone foot. Well, I just had the foot say hello to her. And this woman, first walked in and the foot was like a balloon, you know, you touched it with the blown pieces. And this woman went down, she started moving it. And she, first of all, didn't say anything happened. Then I touched her foot where it hurt and didn't hurt there no more. I touched her foot where it hurt again and didn't hurt there.
Yeah, they will start in originally, if you do not direct them, they will start in by having the pain itself and the area of the pain itself say hello. Your auditing command will simply have the foot say hello, and they will first start in with the pain saying hello, the ridge saying hello, the absent parts, the missing sensation parts saying hello, and they'll sort all this out, and they'll finally, really, eventually start answering your auditing command. It is a total comlag. He must regard it as a total comlag. The fellow has spent 12 hours in the auditing chair having his poliomyelitis results on his leg say hello, you see. Just told him to have his leg say hello, and he will suddenly have his leg start saying hello. But this is the first time he obeyed the auditing command, which is we see communication lag in action right there. We just watch communication lag taking place. The fellow did not have his leg say hello. He had a ridge, a tendon, a joint, something like this say hello.
The enforced communication part is usually the person in contact, in other words, the hypersensitive area.
That's right. Of course, I have found out that what worries a person seemingly in its acute state naturally is pain, the enforced communication part. That seems to be. But they rapidly then start communicating with areas which have no sensation in them. And this seems to worry them much more, really, than just a constant ache or something like that. An ache or a pain, if severe, will of course attract their attention. But as people walk along the street, the thing that they are worried about, you know, they're not in acute pain. The thing that they're worried about is the fact that they don't have any sensation in their feet. And maybe it's so far out of reality that they don't even know they're worried about it and don't even know they have no sensation in their feet. And as I was running this process on test, I've had more persons suddenly say, you know, I had no sensation of any kind in my stomach. See, it was a big relief, you know. All of a sudden, we got that fact into reality. We haven't done a thing about it. He just noticed the condition. And he had a big relief on it. And then, finally, we have his stomach say hello, and we acknowledge his stomach, and we do other things with his stomach. All of a sudden, we get pains and aches, and ridges shoot this way and that, and things are starting to come apart at the seams. He will be making the particles there say hello, not his stomach. He'll eventually get to a point where he'll have his stomach saying hello. And at this time, why, everything is fine. Everything's pretty smooth.
What's the manifestation you run into so often doing this, where a guy all of a sudden gets the feeling sad when his body starts to have
good you. Or very sympathetic, or very, very compassionate toward life at large, for the rest of them.
Ron, you said that this might turn on a mag, and somebody would want to go rushing off.
Oh, yes.
I happen to know two people who go doing this all the time. They spend all their time mocking up games for other people to do or that they can't do. And they never actually play them. And both of them are very manic. And yet both of them have lots of wonderful ideas.
Well, you've just got a detached sort of an observer, sort of a non-participation factor involved here. Such people could be at two different positions on the tone scale. Actually, that is the condition of some of the players, as we use the word technically, a player, somebody who is monitoring some section of this universe, sending people back through between lives areas and so forth. This might be his attitude, too. But this is again a case of aberrated truth, you see. Now, of course, let's define this manic. It's in both of these people. That's merely an aberrated truth.
Yeah.
All right.
This man is what they used to label an entrepreneur, you know. You go and do something. Well, now he don't do them.
That's right. They get down. And if I think of these wonderful things to do, like the Banderlog of Kipling. You know, here we go, Eleanor Roth.
He just goes around all day and all night and all year. I've known him for 2 years now. I've never known what to do about it, so I've let him alone.
Stuck action. He has not walked into another entrepreneur who got things done. You get the idea. He is the entrepreneur. He eventually backs out and totally into an idea stage, where you'll find a writer finally sitting around talking about the wonderful stories he might write. Then after a while, he won't even talk about them anymore. And that's what will happen to this individual. He eventually will not talk about even the idea. He'll just back on off of this game entirely. The thing to do is to, well, have him make mock up somebody else. What was this fellow doing? Stage work?
No, he invented services.
Good, have somebody else inventing services. And you'll find out that in his life he has been so mad at other people who invented services. And have him mock up some other people inventing services and inventing things for him to do. And so on, and the next thing you know, he will pull out of it, and without becoming hectic about it, simply get active again, hardly noticing that he has been inactive, which is the curious no pay for the auditor. Remember, when we say manic, we mean this very, very strongly. Because a person is active, because they're in action, we do not mean he's on a manic. This is a word which simply means an other determined course which is going to flub out. The usual course of flub out when it's turned on in auditing is 3 days. The usual course in life itself is 3 or 4 years. The person will get on a manic of doing something, he'll be terrifically active, very hectic about this, and then all of a sudden it'll ease on out of existence, and he won't have any communication on that line. Well, he never determined to do it in the first place. All he was doing was dramatizing. So a manic would mean dramatized action.
But he did used to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Now, if we're going to get real acquainted with this communication formula, why, there's various things that you will simply have to do with it. Now, to get thoroughly acquainted with it. Because it's all very well for me to sit here and talk to you and so forth, and describe a lot of things and so on. But there's nothing quite as real as reality. Now, if we could find some possession which an individual was holding on to very dearly, I mean this amongst you, see, this is auditing towards significances and specifics. We don't care if you do that. I mean, so what? I mean, it's a waste of time to a large degree with a preclear, but always to some slight degree an auditor's doing this. And so if we were to find something that somebody was holding on to, he didn't quite know why the hell he was holding on to it. And then we work on a two-way cycle of communication, various mock-ups of remedying communication angles to it, just as a little exercise or an experiment. You will discover one of the more interesting series of rationalities, the reasons why. See? A tremendous number of reasons why he's holding on to this, and a tremendous number of reasons why he started to originally, and we will finally come out into the clean about it, and he will actually, whether you told him or I told him or not, will suddenly recognize just lack of acknowledgement, or lack of answer, or lack of originated communication. You see. Now, as far as barriers are concerned, remember we had said something about admiration? We said that which is not mired persists? Well, that which is not communicated with on a two-way cycle persists. And we had said something, we meant something. Actually, a person or a life unit communicated with on a two-way cycle communication gets even more alive and more alert. But this does not work with messed objects. They go to pieces. Barriers go to pieces. Now, I haven't made any real test of space. The anchor points of this universe are something I've been stating. Okay. Now, I've held you way over. It's 10 minutes of three, my God. Let's utilize now in the auditing, just go over it again, any part of this communication formula on any object. And remember this one, and let's cut loose on this one now. The invention of games. Let's discuss what you're doing with this and so forth.
That's for today.
That's for today and until further assignments given. Okay.